took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to Glorious Day. This is Pastor Dave, and I am with my brother,
Pastor Barry.
Ah, it's good to be back.
It is.
I'm telling you what. Listen, folks, you know, as you may remember from hearing the opener to our program, we're very much invested in the coming revival, and we have this heart sense from Jesus that he wants us to encourage the church,
right,
and edify the church, especially about issues that are really pertinent for us as believers right now, things we need to attend to as God shapes us and forms us to meet that the onrush of souls that we're going to find when that revival explodes. And when, don't ask me when, God hasn't told me when.
But it is coming.
It's coming. It's coming soon. And we just need to be ready. So these next three sessions, we're going to be really focusing on issues dealing with revival. And so tonight, or today, we never know what time you're listening.
Yeah, good morning, good evening.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, we're evening here because we're recording. But so the theme for tonight is this. Revival means operating with God's wisdom, not the smartest person's opinion. And oh, sometimes how we not only listen to smarter people, but we want to be the one they're listening to. But there's something bigger for us in revival, and that's God's wisdom.
Right.
So with that, my brother Barry is going to be reading our scripture tonight. And I'd like you to start, brother, with our first reading.
Our first reading comes from Psalm 11, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's that is, and throughout Scripture, we have these wonderful revelations about the wisdom of God and how important it is for us as believers to access that wisdom. Not hard, you know, and we don't have to fill out forms in triplicate. You know, and go dancing under the moon at midnight, you know, wearing bells and stuff. You know, we just ask God, and he will give us what we need for that moment.
I believe when I read the first portion of this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think we all, if we're growing in our faith, we have that moment in the deep end of the prayer pool where we realize just who we're praying to, David.
Yes.
The immensity, the size, the power, all of it. Before the program, Dave and I were talking about there's folks out there who have brought God down to being their fishing buddy, my buddy, my best friend, but they don't give him the credit for being who he really is, a powerful creator, an entity that we can't even measure in our puny minds. All power. And that's important because I don't want to worship a God that's weak and wimpy and like me. There's not a lot of fear of that. There's not a lot of respect for that. And so I just had to mention that because some people just get too cozy with this concept of a smaller God.
That's right. Before we go any further. I must offer a word to our listeners and to you, because when I usually make our notes, and when I was doing our notes, I improperly cited the text that Barry just read. So, so before we allow this to go on the air and give you the wrong citation, what Barry read is actually from Psalm 111, verse 10.
111 verse 10.
Yes, and because I had left one of the ones out, when I was typing this, I was in a rush, which I shouldn't have been. So it's actually Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. So for those of you that have memorized every word in the Bible, I apologize for causing
your mind to take
a hard right turn there. but yes, I guess for me, you know, what came to me when I was praying about this, our sessions, mm-hmm. sessions tonight and this one, is that we're in a season right now where God is making changes in the church and in us, and they're, for some people, they're not, well, nobody expected it necessarily. I mean, not nobody, some people did, but God is shaping the church, and he's doing it in a way that for some people, it's challenging. You know, change, of course, the last thing most people want is change.
Yeah. If you're out there pastoring a church, to echo what David just said, try changing your style of music over the weekend without consulting and see how that changes.
Oh, my
goes.
Goodness. I learned this the hard way when I was in seminary. And it was my second year of seminary. It was a 3-year program. And in my second year, all of us were required to work at a church.
Mm-hmm.
And the seminary had connections with a lot of the churches in the area. This was Chicago area, so a lot of churches up there that were associated with us. And so I found a really neat, it was really a mission in Park Ridge, Illinois. It was about maybe, I mean, it's 15 or 20 minutes from Evanston where we lived and where the seminary was. And so in that time, and I really loved those people, I really got involved. And because it was a small congregation, you know, if you were interested at all in serving the Lord there, you had several jobs. And so aside from assisting in worship and preaching as well and all that, I also had the youth group. And the youth group had been, as often is the case in a lot of churches, they were an afterthought.
Oh, okay.
You know, well, you know, we don't have enough money for us, so we're going to use this money for everything but the youth. And it didn't always take money, but you know, they were sort of out there. And so when I came on board, and by the way, when I signed the contract with the pastor, I made it clear, I don't do youth ministry. And of course, God was laughing, you know.
You really don't, huh, David?
No,
okay,
I really
here we
didn't.
Go.
But as it turned out, that was a major thrust of the last half of that year I was there. In fact, I stayed for an additional year, my last year in seminary, because I got so excited about working with the youth in that church.
Mm-hmm.
But we finally got the elders to agree to give the youth one of the rooms in the church. And this was not a big church, but they did have a basement because this was Illinois, you know, in the middle of the Everglades somewhere where the water table was 2 inches above the ground. And so we had a room, and it was, we couldn't have it 100% because the choir also met in, you know, vested in that room and everything. So anyway, one Saturday we were there, we were setting up the room, cleaning it up and arranging it, and all the youth were there, all 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I looked at the room and I looked at the other rooms, because they rehearsed in a different room, the choir.
Mm-hmm.
I looked in there, there's plenty of room for the vesting cabinets and everything. And so I said, I'm going to start with, I'm not going to do this all at once. I said, but guys, we have no authority for this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do something. So I moved the trash can from that room to where they practiced, because they had a piano in it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we'll see what happens. Well,
talk
about a firestorm.
Over a trash can.
Because I had messed with their traditional space.
Uh-huh.
And so I heard back, because they didn't come to me. They went to the pastor, and complained to him. And he, of course, he was laughing his head off because he wanted these changes. So mm-hmm. he was supporting me and us in doing it. But he said, you'll never believe, you know, the ripple that you caused, the enormous tsunami, emotional tsunami you caused for the choir because you moved the trash can.
Wow.
So anyway, but the trash can didn't move back. The youth actually ended up getting that room totally, but you had to go through a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the whole, I guess the teaching is that God, and it was God's plan, because they ended up becoming a wonderfully cohesive and improving, you know, spiritually profound group of young people. It was mm-hmm. quite amazing. But because we listened, and the pastor listened to God, while other people were just listening to their own opinions about what had happened and not liking it.
Well, one was a spiritual situation, the other one was churchianity.
Churchianity.
Yeah.
And the tradition with the little t, that always, it's like the burr under the saddle of the church as it's riding across the plains, you know, and the horse is bucking because this is too much for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think today, and that's a good memory for me, and I hope that you can get something out of it, because in some ways, what God is doing in his church is kind of like that,
mm-hmm.
because it is change, and people don't like that, but it's part of God's wisdom for how he wants to shape the body of Christ. For the,
right.
Because we're not shaped in the way we need to be, but he's doing that so we can.
Well, you bring up youth, and some of the questions I get from young folks, and funny, now that I'm in my 60s, young folks are in their 20s and 30s. When I was a teenager, that was considered pretty old. But now the young folks in their 20s yeah. and 30s, they get to a point where if they're comfortable enough or just curious, they want to get to the kernel of the truth of who God is, this whole Jesus thing, as yeah. they say. Hmm. And they're not interested at all in any of the man-made traditions, things like that, that they call man-made. They yeah. want to get right down to the basics, and I respect them for that.
Yes.
Because you and I have talked about this before, David, where the hungry folks who are looking for God aren't looking for a church, they're looking for God. They want to find Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not running around saying, I need to find me a really good and fill-in-the-blank church, and that's not what they're hungry for or starving to death for.
Yes.
They want Jesus.
They do.
And the rest will come perhaps later on, but you know, that's important to remember if we're going to talk about revival, because as we get a little older, we get stuck in our ways, so to speak, you know, and we just assume that everybody knows what we know and has done what we've done.
Absolutely.
And that's not true.
No.
Now, in a revival, God is going to move right across the board, the toddler Christians right up to the crusty old Christian that's been around for 75 years, you know. Everybody's Amen. Going to be touched by revival.
Amen.
And they're going to be met where they are.
Oh, yes. And never forget that, you know, God will never call you to do something you're not gifted to do.
Right.
There's always that anointing from the Holy Spirit. Many of us are not aware yet of what those gifts are. God wants to make us aware. So, you know, we will definitely be encouraging you to, and Barry's got a scripture he's going to read in a minute, but before you do that about wisdom, from mm-hmm. James, I got to say this before I just forget it.
Okay.
But I want to get back to the youth for a minute, because unless you folks listening, you're all different ages, I'm sure, in different churches. But so let me say, first of all, that I'm going to actually say that Barry and I believe
mm-hmm.
That when God is, what God is doing to reshape his church and focus us on this revival, is going to have, it's not going to have everything to do with the youth, but it's going to have a lot to do with it. I want you all to think about the traditional view of the church, very much like my story, is that now people will say, oh, we do a lot for the youth. Okay, and maybe you do. Maybe you have a nice budget for the youth. Here's the question God is asking. Yeah, I know you're doing a lot for the youth. What are you doing with them? And by that, I mean with in terms of the community, in terms mm-hmm. of understanding that your youth already have spiritual gifts, and those especially, I'm just going to isolate age groups between 18 and 23 or 20, because you know, 23, 24, you consider them youth.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they want to be actively involved. They reject any plan or program where all they do is get theory, you know. And think about this for a minute, folks, and forget the fact now we're dealing 2,000 years from the birth of the church, but who did Jesus pick? Now, he had people of all age groups in his day, mm-hmm. you know. They had old people like us, Barry.
They did.
And older people even. And they also had young people. But none of, you know, all of these disciples, we know, had to be in their late teens, early 20s, because we know how many of them, you know, the length of life they had.
Right.
And from the book of Acts and such, to know, get an idea that they were growing and maturing, and they were living into adulthood. But he specifically went to the age group that today mm-hmm. is most ignored by most churches. I'm just going to say it like it is, okay?
Right.
Now, folks, if you have any heart for revival, you need to be praying about this. And if you're a pastor especially, you need to be praying about this. What am I not doing with those youth who are in our congregation to actually get them involved in ministry? Don't give them junk stuff to do. You know, okay, the youth group doing a car wash, and that's probably good for raising money. But what about reaching out in your community? Are they biblically literate? Are they spiritually aware? Mm-hmm. Are they saved? And can, because if they're saved, God's got a hold of them. His Spirit is in them. You know, yeah, do a little training and focusing, but trust God to have given them the same Spirit the disciples had. Because look, when Jesus ascended and went to heaven a few days before, you know, the coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, mm-hmm. you know, these guys weren't 45 and 50 years old. They were still in their late teens and early 20s.
Right. I don't think people have that picture in their head.
Yeah.
They picture them as being wizened guys with a white beard. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're already on Social Security, and yeah, they're barely getting around. But look at Peter. He was probably, you know, 20s or 30s. And
When he was reaching the fullness of his ministry, he's probably in his 30s.
Yeah. And John, he was probably one of these teenagers or 20-somethings that you're talking about.
Exactly.
He was very young.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give a shout-out to Pastor Guy out there, because in his church in Jensen Beach, they have a very busy and productive feeding program. Mm-hmm. And they take in the teenagers that are still in high school that need volunteer hours.
Yes.
Community hours. And he gathers them in the hall, and before anybody brings a box or a bag of food to anyone, there's a prayer time. And in the prayer time, I've done this with them as well, we pray that these young people will see the face of Christ looking back at them, that they'll have an intimate moment with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As they're feeding the poor. And, you know, young people being who they are, there's a lot of joking about that. I can't wait to see them today. But inevitably, one or two out of the bunch will come back to him with a tear in their eye saying, I know what you're talking about. I want to come back and do this again. And they're sweaty, they're dirty. Mm. I mean, it's hard work, David, in this heat, to take 70-pound boxes and run them out to a car and put them in the trunk and do things right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're dirty. And I said, well, now you have a dirty fingernails ministry. So there you go. But it's tactile to them. It's real, and they're actually physically being obedient to the gospel.
Amen.
They get a lot out of that.
And I'm not so, in fact, I'm fairly sure that in the, when we look at how the church developed its attitude toward its own members over the centuries,
mm-hmm.
I believe the blowing off of youth is something maybe peculiar to the 20th and 21st centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to change, folks.
That's the life of the church right there, you know.
It is.
It's like when a pastor hears babies crying all over the church, he's the only one smiling because he's got a full-fledged family going there. And those little crying toddlers and babies will one day be sitting in a pew in front of them listening to the scripture. And
yeah,
you know, there should be joy in that.
And some of those little babies are going to end up being called by God to be leaders in the church.
Amen. Amen.
But I'll tell you something, and I've seen this. If you've been in a Christian long enough and going to your average congregational community with different age groups,
mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I always struggled with this, but a typical scene on a Sunday morning at what you call the family service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a mixture of ages. You have grandparent ages down to the little babies, and everything's fine till the little baby starts crying.
And everybody now, gets nervous.
Well, you get all the older folk who've had their kids and they're gone now, and they've come and they expect to have their worship environment clean and neat, well-ordered, you know, no mess, no muss, no fuss.
Right, right.
And the baby goes, suddenly you can see them kind of folding in on themselves, sneering. I mean, that's a little excessive. But the point is, and if you're one of those people, just be honest. You know, you don't want that.
No.
You don't want that. But here's the thing. You've got to get past what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because today especially, God's always given his wisdom to the church, but today especially is he wants us to have the kind of, to have his wisdom
mm-hmm.
in our hearts so that when those moments happen, those temptations, you know, to just respond to the things that disturb us in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
you know, he wants us to go past that and to be loving in that way. And Barry has a reading from James he's going to share, because if you're at that point, he's going to tell you what God's word says about wisdom.
James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we ask God for so many things, a good parking space, money, success, and all that.
Yeah.
But how many people sit down at night and get on their knees at night and say, Lord, I'm just asking you for wisdom. Maybe yeah. you've got a decision to make that you need the wisdom of Solomon, you know. Yeah. Sometimes we're overwhelmed. You know, life is like that. It throws you a question that almost can't be answered.
Yes.
Right. That's where God comes in, because he always has the right answer.
He does.
But you got to listen. You got to ask.
Amen.
You know, what's the old joke? You don't want to answer the question, do you still beat your wife? Well,
yeah.
No, but yeah, but no, yeah, you can't answer it.
It's an unanswerable question.
You know, people, you know, their prayer lives are funny in the fact, and I'm including myself, sometimes we get into a rut. Sometimes we kneel down to pray and our mind goes blank or wanders all over the place. And sometimes it comes down to this. Maybe we're making some pretty poor choices.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, no one's perfect except for the Lord. And if you're asking him, he's going to help you. He's waiting for you to ask him.
Yes.
What do I do? I want your wisdom. Mine's not working.
And really, in saying that, Barry, we're getting back to the, when I opened this up at the beginning of the program with our mm-hmm. theme, you know, which is revival means operating with God's wisdom,
right.
not the smartest person's opinion. And I think we need to have God move in our midst, in all of our churches, to help us understand the difference,
mm-hmm.
you know. And a lot of people are, and maybe what you say is your opinion is informed by the Holy Spirit. But usually my opinion is something that I have arrived at usually by thinking as hard as I can on a point. And maybe I've done some study and you'll put all things together. Depends on the issue. But this is also a fault that people like us, Barry, who are pastors and who preach, is often on Sunday we're not getting God's opinion. We're not getting God's wisdom. We're getting the pastor's opinion on something. And, you know, as much as erudite as some of us are and as enamored as we are with our opinions, and therefore, you know, we can give these seemingly wise proclamations and all of that. And it may be that God has been behind that. So you have to know in the spirit if that's God or if that's just that person. But let me say today, in these days, we don't have any time to waste. We don't have any time to play around with concepts. I want you to know what God is telling me and sharing for the church, not what my opinion is about something that I think God wants to. There is a difference.
There is a difference. And I believe it, to paint a little picture, it'd be like you're back against the wall with a tsunami coming at you.
Mm.
It's impending. Wow. It's going to come. And you need God's words, God's wisdom, not your own.
Amen.
Because we should always preach the gospel with a sense of urgency.
Yes.
Because we have such limited lifetimes. Don't you wish we could live 200 years just to proclaim the gospel a little bit longer? And
well, let me say this.
Well, you're not 200 yet, David.
No, but I'm a 72, and I'm not at all unhappy with my life. But I've noticed, you know, if physical decline continues at a marked pace, then 200 is not going to be fun. So I'm ready whenever God wants to take me home, and I'm happy with that. But, nah.
Not 200?
No. If he gives me another 10 or 20 years, I'll be happy because those are from him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if he comes while I'm still alive, hallelujah, which is what all this, you know, we're talking about revival, uh-huh, is leading us to the day when Jesus comes to get his church back.
I just want to preach effectively, and I just want to, when I pass from this world, know that I've done the best I could,
yeah,
with what's coming. I just want to make sure that nobody that I know is heading toward that lake of fire.
Amen. And that's our job, and that's your job,
mm-hmm,
is to reach out to the people beyond where you are, your home, your work, mm-hmm, and into all those places and share Christ as he leads you.
Amen, brother.
And he's going to give you, if you ask him, his wisdom. And then you can go with that comfortably and peacefully.
Amen. I can do that.
Why don't we have a little prayer? May I do that? And then we'll say goodbye for tonight.
Surely, brother.
Oh, Lord God, Lord, only you know how to work through all the conflagrations and issues of life today to make your will happened, to make it unfold, so that at the beginning and at the end of each day that you will say, my will has been done. Father, we need your wisdom more so that we can order our lives in accordance with that will, not so we can have enamoring opinions, but so that we can at all times know what you would have us say, what you would have us do. Father, give us that wonderful gift of your Spirit, Lord, the incredible anointing that you want us to have, so that when we start our days, each day, leaving our homes to go out wherever we go into the world, to be ready at a moment's notice, Father, to, at the leading of your Spirit, share the life-giving word of the gospel with somebody, no matter who it may be,
mm-hmm,
and maybe a series of somebodies throughout the day. And in so doing, Father, as we are buoyed up and excited by your wisdom, your word is preached and spread throughout our culture and ultimately throughout the world. We ask for this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, until next time, Barry, God bless you, our listeners, and thanks for joining me, Barry, yes, my brother.
God bless you, David, and thank you again. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Oh,